Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we can do a little better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ah, there we go. Thank y'all. As we mentioned earlier, this Sunday is a bit surreal, being our last Sunday here. But it's also fitting that this is the Sunday on which we focus on gratitude within our capital campaign, within this Deeper Roots campaign. For we are so grateful to God for this place. Here we've experienced His lavish and radically generous grace and mercy in our lives and in our families. We've rejoiced together before the Lord here. We've borne each other's burdens and sorrows with the Lord's help here. We've welcomed here our children and others who have come to Christ and to the body of Christ and have said goodbye here to those whom we love, who have died in the Lord. We've experienced the love of God here in so many different ways. Yet God has called us to move from this place. In His divine providence and generous favor, God has made a way for us to move into a new home, one that will likewise be marked by memories of encounter with Him, of His love, of His grace and word and sacrament, and in countless other ways. In His divine providence and generous favor, God has made a way for us to move into a new home, a place where we can grow deeper roots in Christ and in this city for generations to come, to be a colony of heaven here, a beacon of His gospel. And in some ways, we're in a similar position to the one Israel finds herself in our lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 26. On the cusp of moving into a new land, a new home. They're entering this new home that God so graciously has given to them to be a place where they will grow deeper roots in order to make known His name among the nations. Likewise, we're on that same cusp of moving into a new home where we pray we will likewise be faithful to God so that we can make His name known here more brightly, more loudly, maybe more obnoxiously. It's good sometimes to be obnoxious, I guess. And so our lesson this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 26 is instructive for us because it reveals to us the key to maintaining fidelity amid God's lavish blessings. And the key is the practice of gratitude. Since at Christ Church we love putting the word radical in front of things, we could even say the practice of radical gratitude. But before we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26, we need to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 15. Just look with me there. You can turn in a pew Bible if you so desire. Moses says, beginning in verse 10, "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, and then take care, lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God whom you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by His name shall you swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and He destroy you from off the face of the earth." Whoa. This lesson from Holy Scripture has some real extremes in it, doesn't it? On the one hand, there's this extreme of wealth, extreme economic blessings that we hear recounted in verse 11, houses that you did not build, full of things that you did not fill, cisterns you did not dig, orchards and vineyards that you did not plant, and you will eat and you will be full. Now, on the other hand, there's another kind of extreme in this passage that we hear in verse 15. The Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest he be angry, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy you from off of the face of the earth. Whoa! This is an extreme situation as well. We have extreme blessing and then we have extreme threat. It's the extreme of God's righteous anger and wrath. Now, between these two extremes, between abundance and destruction, between flourishing and condemnation, between joy and wrath, we find a fulcrum that can tip us in one direction or the other. A fulcrum is memory. Memory. That's interesting, isn't it? Not what I would have put there. I probably would have put more warnings, maybe a few more laws. Stay away from this, but memory. Notice at the end of verse 11, when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God's already delivered Israel. And they're on the cusp of entering the land of promise that he's giving to them. And Moses is writing this book, the book of Deuteronomy, in order to prepare them for life in faithful relationship, covenant relationship to God in this land, in this new home, a land marked by lavish abundance, by God's blessings. Over and over again, Moses warns the people that when they prosper, when God blesses them economically, they will face the temptation of forgetting God. So, for example, just a couple chapters over in chapter 8, verse 17, Moses warns them, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me all this wealth.'" Now, we can understand this, right? You work really hard for years. You go to school, maybe, trade. You develop skills. You're scrappy. You're lean, you put it all on the line, and it works. You're economically successful, you accumulate wealth. In that moment, it's easy then to forget that the reason I'm able to work, the reason I'm able to work hard is because God gave me this mind or this body, gave me these abilities, these opportunities, this kind of setup. It's easy to forget that all this is God's gracious provision to me, to our church. Moses is saying, look out and make sure that your economic abundance does not cause you to give lip service to God while your heart forgets him. Christ Church, we need to pay attention to this. Because God has abundantly blessed our church. I was just talking yesterday with EB, and we were talking about how much God has blessed our church. The fact that it's growing, the fact that we purchased that new building, we were over in the new building, the fact that we purchased that new church home at a time when so many churches in this country are in decline. The very reason that church became available. Yet the danger for us as a church and as individuals in the midst of God's blessings is to forget that all of it is a result of his work. His gifts, his kindness, his grace that he so lavishly has given to us. And here's the good news. In Deuteronomy, God not only warns us of the dangers of economic blessings or the dangers we could say maybe in the church of growth, he also gives us an amazing and joy-filled solution. The solution that God gives to Israel and the one he still gives us today is the practice of gratitude. And this practice of gratitude, as revealed in our lesson, has at least two parts. First, it involves economically oriented worship. Economically oriented worship. Let me show you what I mean. Turn with me to our lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. You can just refer to that as I reference things. This lesson is just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing if you slow down and read it carefully. God is saying, look, I'm going to give you so much good stuff. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your socks off. I'm going to bless your generations. I'm going to give you so many wonderful opportunities to flourish. But there's a downside in a world marred by sin. The downside is that when you flourish, you will be tempted to forget me, your God, who gave you all these things. So I'm going to help you with that temptation. And the first way I'm going to help you is by encouraging you to practice gratitude that is expressed through economically oriented worship. I want you to go to the sanctuary. And when you go to worship, I want you to take what you have made, what you've produced, the first fruits, your tithe. I want you to take your money with you, and I want you to give it away to God. I want you to take your tithe, 10% that comes right off the top. I want you to take it to you with worship. And in the midst of worship, not before worship, not after worship, not in some side transaction, but I want you in the midst of worship, in the pinnacle of worship, I want you to give it to the priest who's going to set it down before the Lord your God. Notice verse 13. Just beyond what was read in our lesson, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion out of my house. What's a strange thing to say? You see, they were to recognize that the first fruits, the tithe of all they made, of all they produced, is sacred, set apart. And it's their job to get it out of their hands, out of their house, and into the temple. As an act of gratitude and thanksgiving for the homes they did not build, for the vineyards they did not plant, for all the good gifts of God's redemption and provision for life. Their job simply was just to get rid of it. And they're to do this at the heart of worship. That's a strange thing to do with our money. I mean, we don't produce things. I mean, I guess you could, if you have a home garden, you could bring your tomatoes, first fruits. I mean, some of us would enjoy that. That's a strange thing to do with our money, with what we produce. Moses is saying, out of the profound gratitude to God, in your worship, give your money and then tell your testimony. Give your money and then tell your testimony. Do you hear Israel's early creed, their early confession of salvation, how God encountered their father, the wandering Aramean? How they were locked homeless, enslaved in Egypt, and how he brought them out of that land, out of the house of bondage, and brought them on the cusp of entering this new home, this new land. They not only gave their money, they gave their money in the context of a rehearsal of their redemption. Because this act of gratitude is a profound thank you to God that teaches our hearts and our souls to remember his grace at work among us. It's an acknowledgement that we did not do this, but God alone has. This kind of gratitude expressed in economically oriented worship casts money and possessions down from the throne of our hearts, and it builds and strengthens our memory as our gift-giving, our memory in our gift-giving Creator and Redeemer. You want to keep your mind sharp in your old age? Do Sudoku. Do crossword puzzles. You want to keep your body in shape? I guess eat healthy. Exercise. That's what they tell me. You want to remember God? That he's the one who gives you everything as gift? Practice gratitude by giving to God a fraction of what he's given you in your worship before his throne. Now that's the first move. That's the first tool that God gives us to resist abundance-induced amnesia. The second aspect of the practice of gratitude is that he gives them is not only does their worship need to involve their money, it also has to culminate in a feast. This is what makes it so joy-filled. We're going to put aside the exercise and the healthy diet for a while. Economically oriented worship culminating in a feast is the second aspect of the practice of gratitude that God gives them to resist the abundance-induced amnesia. Look at Deuteronomy 26, verses 10 and 11. Once the Israelites brought their tithe, their first fruits, to worship and handed it to the priest, they were to say, "And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it down." This is the instruction to the one coming before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who's among you. Now that phrase, rejoice in all the good. If you just open up your Bible here to chapter 26 of Deuteronomy, you might be inclined to think that that means like some kind of Pentecostal jig. You know, you've seen what I'm talking, you've seen a meme. Please tell me you've seen the memes, okay? You might be tempted to think it's some kind of a Pentecostal jig, a dance. But it's something much more than just dance or a movement. If you begin reading Deuteronomy from the very beginning and you work your way to verse 20 or chapter 26, that phrase has already been used a lot. And it's been defined a lot. And it doesn't mean have a dance. It means have a party. Have a feast. This is awesome. How are we to remember God? In the context of thanksgiving and praise, in the context of feasting, the solution to money's power and the power of abundance to bend us into ourselves, into greed, into selfishness, the antidote, the solution is gratitude-filled worship where we bring our tithe, we bring our free will offerings, and we retell our story of redemption, and then we gather to eat. We gather to feast. Now, what does that sound like to you, Christ Church? What does that sound like to you? Have you experienced anything like that before? Are we experiencing something like that right now? We have so much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for in our individual lives and together as a church. Not only for the material things that God provides us individually and as a church, but also for the rich blessings that he gives us in our redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. So much to be grateful for. He's richly blessed us in so many ways. This church building has been one of the great blessings in the life of this church. So many of us have stories. I've already heard some here. Ben's already been telling me to anticipate sobs from Lisa in the 11 o'clock service. I know many of you have such a connection here that God's chosen to bless us even further by entrusting to us a new church home on Bolton Street. Yet as we receive these blessings from God, we must also heed Moses' warning not to forget that it is God who has given us all these good things. This building, that building, everything that we have in our homes, in our families, our health, everything. We must resist abundance-induced amnesia by cultivating a practice of radical gratitude to God that begins with the tithe and spills over to free will offerings for the work of his kingdom, whether here at Christ Church or elsewhere that's doing the work. We must express this gratitude at the pinnacle of our worship. When we rehearse and retell the glorious story of our redemption in Christ alone. How in Christ God has rescued and redeemed us from slavery to sin within the kingdom of darkness, transferring us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The kingdom of our beloved Savior, the King of heaven and earth. And this economically oriented, gratitude-filled worship that retells our redemption story culminates in a lavish feast of grace here at this table, the banquet table of God's coming kingdom. And what do we eat? We eat what we bring. Isn't that remarkable? I think so often we give, but we lack to see that God transforms our gifts into gifts of grace and gives them back to us. If we were to go over to Deuteronomy 14, this is so clearly portrayed there. When they come, he says, everyone, come once a year, come to present your tithes. Come, come. And if you live too far away, if your okra is going to get those black spots on it, if your tomatoes are going to get a little mushy, you know, turn it into money, and then when you get here to Jerusalem, buy whatever your heart desires. Kids, tell your parents, when they critique you on how you're spending your money, it's biblical. I'm getting what I want. Whatever your heart desires. Oxen, many of you are probably not thinking of oxen. Oxen, sheep, strong drink. My Baptist background, if I learned one thing, it was what the Bible says about strong drink is don't. But in Deuteronomy 14, it says do. God says, come to my temple. Bring your tithe. Bring your freewill offerings. Come. And guess what? When you present them to the priest, he's going to give them back to you in this abundant feast. We see that played out every Sunday. We bring gifts, of course our money, but we bring gifts of bread and wine. These are the fruits of our labor. God has made such a wonderful and good creation, and he's given us of his image bearers to take it and make it better. Because bread is so much, well, maybe not the bread we eat here at time. You know what I'm talking about. Bread is better than raw grain. Wine is so much better than grapes, as good as grapes are. We come, we bring the fruits of our labor, and God receives them. And then he takes them, he blesses them, he sanctifies them, and then he gives them back to us as gifts of his lavish grace. There's just this wonderful circle of God blessing us, acknowledging that with gratitude, God taking that acknowledgement and then blessing us again with it, over and over again. It's a beautiful feedback loop. It's a beautiful echo chamber. If you're going to be in an echo chamber, this is the one you want to be in. Of God's radical generosity. Christchurch, next week we'll join together at 1210 Bolton Street for the first time to worship a radically generous God who has lavished his blessings on us in our redemption and in our story as a congregation. We have a beautiful going home story, coming home story. That's where we began to meet as a church, 2008, 16, 15 years ago. Little did Father Ben know and those few people that gathered there at the beginning that we would be coming back there and owning that building. Testimony to God's lavish generosity to us. So we're going to be there. We're going to rehearse our redemption story. We're going to talk about our story as a congregation marked by God's grace and kindness to us. So Christ Church continued to pray, asking God how he would want you to express your gratitude for his generosity to us individually, to us as a congregation. Ask him, what do you want me to do to help deepen Christ Church's roots? And when we come next week and we take our commitment cards, whatever they are, whatever the Lord has laid on our heart, we will present them together before the throne of grace, giving them over to a God who loves us. He's going to take them. And by his divine alchemy, he's going to make them means of grace in our lives. In that place. Just as he's done here. Come next week, expectant to encounter God anew and afresh there. Come with gratitude, filling your heart. Come and make joyful worship of our God. And we will feast afterwards, not only at this table, but in a lot of round tables in the fellowship hall below. Father, we ask that you would come and that you would be with us here in this last service. And Father, we know that you not only will be with us here, but you will lead our way over to Bolton Street. So encourage us, strengthen us with your grace and kindness. And God, I pray that you would just overflow your blessings to us. Do more than we could ever think or imagine. And so may your name be glorified in us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.